Before Nick Mueller became the president and CEO of the National World War II Museum, he spent 33 years on faculty at the University of New Orleans. He started out as professor of European history, then became dean, vice chancellor, and finally founding president of UNO's Research and Technology Park. He never thought of a second career in the museum world, but his dear friend, the eminent historian Stephen Ambrose, did.
Steve Ambrose and I were in his backyard and having a few drinks after work, and Steve had finished his oral histories and had a lot of artifacts that were given him and said, let's start a little small museum for $1 million or so, and we can conserve and store these artifacts and oral histories for posterity and call it the D-Day Museum. And I said, it's the best idea you ever had, Steve, but you're so naive. It's going to be at least $4 million. He said, oh, no, no, never. Anyway, 10 years later and 30 million later, we're downtown as the National D-Day Museum. That's the short story.
Steve Ambrose was dogged about the idea. Congress, he discovered, had no interest in such a project, even if General, then later President, Dwight D. Eisenhower believed that the Higgins boat, designed and built in New Orleans, was the reason the war was won.
Well, Steve Ambrose was a renowned military historian, one of the top two most distinguished professors at the University of New Orleans, Boyd Professor of History. On and on, but he was a giant in American history. Some people called him America's historian.
Mueller says he would have stopped on June 6, 2000, when the D-Day Museum opened, but for two United States senators, both veterans of the Second World War, who encouraged the building of a larger museum, offering help with funding and a name change. For all that, though, there have always been those who have questioned the value of a war museum.
We're not a war museum. We are a museum about the American experience through the greatest conflict in world history. So our mission is about why that war was fought. Of course, the war itself, how it was won. And then lastly, in the last pavilion, is what it means today. What's the lasting legacy and meaning in your life, in my life? I mean, what are the fruits of that victory?
Those achievements, the introduction of computers and cell phones, medical advancements and civil rights, are only part of the story for Nick Mueller.
This war is the crucible of the 20th century. It has to be understood as one of the milestones in our own country's survival as a democracy. The 20th century was the time in World War II when we had to defend ourselves against very powerful tyrannical regimes, racist regimes, intent on conquering the world. And we were way behind the eight ball, outnumbered 20 to 1, totally unready, in a depression, and most of the country in an isolationist mood. So how did America do that? How did we get in a position to go from 500,000 to 16 million men under arms, equip them, feed them, transport them, get them ashore against the enemy, and build the strongest forces in the world?
So that's the story of the museum, certainly one that resonates with World War II veterans and their families. But are there enough of them to keep the museum going?
We heard a lot that our future market was going to die off. I used to tell people that the Civil War and Gettysburg still get 4 million people a year going to see it. But the short answer right now is less than half of 1% of our 400,000 visitors are World War II veterans. Half of 1%, so that's tiny. We're rapidly reaching out and attracting younger students. We have 50,000 K-12 kids there every year. 80% of our visitors are coming from outside of New Orleans, and half of them are saying it's the number one or number two most important reason for them to come visit.
To find out more about the National World War II Museum, go to wwno.org or NOLAVIE, NOLAVIE.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.